it's a platform to go to be able to see everything that's going on with elected officials. You can even filter kind of if I want to know what my elected officials in a particular district or state are saying, they impact me. And so even if I don't necessarily agree with all of their views, I'm sure that many of the things they do put out or say or their voting records do impact me. And so I'd want to know what those are and to have kind of my pulse on what's being said.
Hello, this is the Great Battlefield Podcast. I'm Nathaniel G. Perlman. A great political battle is being fought right now between progressives and the forces of reaction on the other side. This show is about the political entrepreneurs and other progressive leaders who are finding new or improved ways to fight. One of the things I follow in this podcast is political entrepreneurship, mostly among progressives, but also some of those building nonpartisan enterprises. My guests today, Naeem Khanjani and Soraya Bagheri, the co-founders of Electo, are an enthusiastic team working in a challenging space to build a business. They have created a new nonpartisan mobile platform designed to provide information to voters on elected officials and candidates. It's an alternative to following candidates directly, automating that process for you. We had a good conversation about their motivation and process and where they are in building a product and an enterprise. So, after a quick word from our sponsor, my interview with Naeem and Soraya of Electo.
This episode is brought to you by Graphicacy. Graphicacy is an analytic design firm that can help you advance the mission of your organization using your own real data and information. They are 21st century visual communicators who create interactive graphics, motion graphics, and data visualizations. You can find Graphicacy at graphicacy.com. That is GRAPHICACY.com. With Graphicacy's help, you can visualize a better world.
So, Naeem and Soraya, would you each mind introducing yourselves and giving me a quick biography?
My name is Naeem Khanjani, based in Washington, D.C. I am the co-founder and CEO of Electo. At Electo, we are providing a nonpartisan platform and resource for all Americans to stay informed and to make conscious voting choices. My background is not in politics. I was a consultant for several years before I founded Electo with my co-founder, Soraya. One of the reasons why we created Electo was because of my backstory, which made us think critically about how we access information and how we use social media.
Perhaps you should tell me what backstory that is.
I was born in Iran, and I am a member of the Baha'i faith, a persecuted minority in Iran. In Iran, many minorities don't have access to basic human rights, and Baha'is in particular, they face tremendous limitations and challenges from the government. And for instance, I was prohibited from pursuing my higher education. After a two-year process, I was able to come to the U.S. as a refugee with the help of the UN about 8 years ago. At the time, I was very young. I was 19 years old by the time I arrived in the U.S. by myself. This year is the first year that I'm eligible to vote, which I have been very excited, and I'm still very excited. From 2019, my co-founder and I, Soraya and I, started thinking critically about this upcoming election and how we can stay informed, and that's what gave birth to Electo.
Got it. Soraya, why don't you give me your bio and how you got involved?
My name is Soraya Bagheri. I'm the COO and co-founder of Electo, as Naeem mentioned. So my background is also not in politics. I'm an attorney, practicing attorney. I've had experience working with global law firms, both internationally and in the U.S., and I've had experience with the United Nations at the grassroots level and about four continents. And before my legal career, I was trained as an educator and I was working on social and economic development programs in various countries.
What's the sort of founding story for Electo?
Electo aims to create a community of informed voters through presenting essential information straight from the source in real time, other political records and information regarding voting in a pandemic. So if you want to add into it.
Going back to our founding story, I think I'll touch a little bit on what Naeem was mentioning when he was introducing himself on this journey to the U.S. and kind of having access to democracy and you know, this year being his first year that he's eligible to vote. We were really thinking critically about the way that we have access to information and thinking about media bias in the US and how a lot of the media systematically skews a lot of the reporting. There are claims of liberal bias and conservative bias. And we were thinking about the way that we had kind of access to the news, you know, how we were using social media and how it was kind of unconsciously perhaps affecting us and our views. And so we started aggregating in our own way publicly available information on political figures. And so we started following them on Twitter, subscribing to their emails, and looking up their political records. And it was very time consuming. And I don't think it was sustainable in any way.
And very overwhelming.
For sure. Yeah, very, very overwhelming. And so we thought, okay, why isn't there a product out there that's, you know, nonpartisan, unbiased, that does this, but also doesn't incorporate any bias? So it doesn't create any content itself, but kind of lets us analyze a lot of the information that already exists to make our own conscious voting choices. And so it started off as kind of our own little problem that we recognized and trying to find a solution for it.
I have to admit that my first response to such proposed enterprise is skepticism. I've seen many attempts to build things like this. I'm sure different in significant ways, but every election starting in 2000 and probably before, some really well-funded and some not so. Most have disappeared. A few remain in one form or another. Did you take a look at sort of that ecosystem of information about politicians or sort of social networks for looking at politics or, you know, other information groupings about elections before you got going? It sounds like you did and didn't find anything, but there's been a lot.
Of course, yeah, there definitely has been a lot. And I think there are also other existing organizations that are doing a lot of great work that we're kind of finding ways to partner up with. One challenge we noticed is that there was nothing out there that wasn't incorporating any content themselves. A lot of the existing resources that we did find were affiliated with one party or the other. So we really wanted to create something that was user-friendly, but was also an app form that wasn't kind of just a web application, but a mobile application, and tried to kind of learn from a lot of the, because we have heard a lot of stories and read a lot about others that maybe weren't as successful, and kind of learning from those experiences to be able to make a platform that we hope would be sustainable and will be around for longer.
When you speak about people who are already out there and doing good work, as you mentioned, Who comes to mind?
Who comes to mind? I mean, I don't want to, again, kind of everything that we do, we're very kind of thoughtful and very careful in kind of any messaging and anything we put out so that we're not perceived as partisan in any way, because I know that that's very difficult. So many claim to be nonpartisan, but then in one way or the other, there is kind of some type of messaging that does kind of skew one way or the other. But I think there are a lot of like one organization or one kind of website, for example, that uses technology to simplify political engagement and voter turnout is vote.org. And then there are numerous organizations that are, you know, doing voter education, making sure every eligible voter is registered and ready to vote at every election. There's TurboVote. I think there are many organizations and nonprofits out there that are doing great work. But then there are other organizations that also perhaps provide information to analytics and voting records that are more for-profit, that are kind of in a different space. And we feel that we're kind of somewhat in the middle and bridging that gap, but remaining kind of accessible to everyday Americans and as nonpartisan as we can be.
What form of an organization did you create? Is this a for-profit or a nonprofit?
Electo is a C Corp, but we also have a nonprofit arm. And so we do have nonprofit work that we do through the nonprofit, through Electo Foundation. And then the app itself is under the C Corp.
How did you go about creating an organization? Was it just the two of you? Did you raise money? Did you hire? What's happened?
Sure. At the beginning, so we started sharing the idea that we had with friends, colleagues, and what we noticed that we are all sharing a common challenge that what we are facing, the disinformation and finding ways that we can stay informed. So Soraya and I started strategizing how we can move forward. And the project so far has been self-funded. Although during our journey, we have received tremendous support from other nonprofits and other corporations based in DC with their resources. We have had the chance to meet with incredible individuals, including some of our presidential candidates, members of Congress, and individuals that are executives at big tech firms that are interested, and what they have in mind is aligned with our mission. So they supported us that we gathered a team of tech, and so we started strategizing how we should move forward. And even every small steps of this app, like the color that we are using or the way that we have to design it, we spend hours thinking that how we can keep this app the way that should show that is not partisan, and also some way that it's not addictive, because that was not what we have in mind and we had in mind, and still it remains the same.
Yeah, so I think we slowly grew our team. I think at the time, Naeem started working on this full time and started kind of thinking about what this app would look like. I think initially we had a very kind of more of a vague idea of what we wanted to do. We knew that we wanted to have a platform that was nonpartisan, that was different from those that existed. But it started off as Naeem only, and then I left. I was working full-time at a law firm and left to work on Electo full-time with Naeem. And then we slowly grew our team. So we have about a team of about 10 at the moment and do hope to continue to expand.
And team of 10 self-funded?
It is tough. So we do have some that are kind of helping us on a kind of more project of a project-based or volunteer, kind of are volunteering because they believe in our mission and everything that we're doing. And then we have had some support from friends and family and as Naeem mentioned, different organizations, just with their resources that were able to support us when we were more at the kind of brainstorming stages and with web hosting and other support that they were able to provide.
And what's the business model?
One thing that Naeem mentioned that I think I'm glad is being talked about much more than before is kind of our mission to also create a product that kind of brings an ethical design to our product. And we want to create humane technology and not something that's more kind of persuasive tech design that keeps you inside an app for as long as possible, which is more of the kind of the ad model that a lot of social media platforms use. So it was really hard because we were thinking of ways, okay, we don't want to run ads because that's completely, it's not aligned with our mission. So how are we going to create revenue? One thing that we had in mind was to enable fundraising through our app and then to be able to raise kind of funds for ourselves through voluntary tips that our users would leave. So a similar kind of revenue model to GoFundMe.
Or ActBlue.
Yes, as well. That's correct.
Have you embarked on that part of it yet?
Yes, we have. So our most recent build of the app does include a donations feature that does allow for and facilitate fundraising directly through the app, which we're very excited about.
I wonder if I have the most recent build. How would I know?
Well, if you go on the App Store and then if there's like a, if you search for the app, so if you search for Electo, and then it says update on the top right-hand side, that would mean you'd need to update the app.
Okay. What results have you seen so far in that aspect of it? It doesn't say needs update.
Okay, great. So if it doesn't say that you need updates, so what you would do is you would click on any name that comes up. So when you go on the kind of the news feed, the first thing that you see when you get into the app, you're able to see the different names that come up, different elected officials, presidential candidates, you know, members of Congress. If you click on their name, you're then able to see kind of their profile, which is kind of an aggregation of everything they put online, but also their voting records. And at the top right-hand side, you'll be able to see the donate button as well.
Oh, green donate button.
Yes.
Okay. Got it. So I've only poked around a little bit in this and looked up a variety of politicians. What is the scope currently of the politicians who sort of feed you, incorporate all together in this one app?
So at the moment, we have the presidential candidates, so the presidential ticket. And we also have members of Congress, and we incorporated governors very early on when a kind of coronavirus had just started. And we're working on going down ballot and to have, I mean, our goal is to have a product that goes kind of down to the very local level. And that's kind of, that's our main mission.
We expedited adding the feature of governors into the app because we realized that how governors are playing a key role in keeping us informed during this pandemic.
Has anyone donated through the app? What's the pickup on that so far?
Yeah, so we have had a few donations through the app. I mean, we are at the stage where we are promoting the app and kind of building trust around the app. We're not here just for kind of election 2020. We do want to be here long term and to have a resource that's used by everyone for kind of other next elections as well. So we have had donations. It's a slow growing process. We're currently kind of growing users. And we're really excited that I think donations are increasing just more generally. I think with a lot of things that are happening on it, you know, around the country, we can see that. I think even just a few days ago with ActBlue, how there was such a spike and an increase in donations given the political climate. But yeah, we're really excited to especially kind of fundraise more at the local level as well once that's available.
So what's the general number of users so far, since you just launched?
So we officially launched, it's been less than 10 days. We are very fortunate to say during past few weeks, we have been able to have several thousand users. As you might have noticed that when you download the app, not at the very beginning, you are required to create an account with us. I mean, when I'm saying create an account, that you will have the feature to favorite your own candidates that you would like to follow. So far, the result that we have been seeing, it's been very positive during such short period of time. And as we are moving forward, we are focusing on raising awareness about who we are and what we do and what we aim to achieve.
Something that I don't grasp fully here, which is, what do you think the impact will be if you were to, rather than have thousands of users, to have millions of users? What do you think would change about the country if tons of people came here for information?
Well, that's a really interesting question you asked, because all the information that we have on the app is publicly available information. But I think what's different is that when we were doing our own experiments, kind of following different elected officials ourselves, we were kind of bogged down on a lot of the comments, and then would see that we were targeted by different ads. We did sometimes want to maybe follow elected officials or candidates that had differing views from us, to see kind of what they're saying and to not have, you know, have ourselves in a little silo. But then we were targeted again. And unfortunately, the way that technology works, kind of the way social media works, is that there's so much persuasive tech design that's built into these apps. For example, if you are on any social media platform, you pull down, the next time you refresh, there's a new thing at the top. So it's like this psychology, positive intermittent reinforcement that wants you to keep going back. And so we don't want to create an addictive platform. We're not in the business of selling any data or kind of being able to monitor how long you spend reading a certain post. We really just want to provide a safe alternative platform where you're able to see all of this kind of all these social media posts that are out there without being targeted by ads, and then also being able to have one place where you can go to see voting records, being able to, you know, call elected officials directly through the app, and to have it all in one place. So that, for example, if there are there's a significant event that's happening in the U.S., or if there are wildfires, or if there are the debates going on, you can pull out the app and in real time see what elected officials are saying at that time, without having to go on kind of multiple kind of social media platforms. And yeah, so just having it all in one place.
And if I can add to what Soraya mentioned, we believe that independent investigation of truth is crucial for a society to thrive. I recently heard that the study found that disinformation spreads 6 times faster online than true information. It is important to have access to different opinions and not to have customized news feeds that are created for us by an algorithm that does not know the difference between the right and wrong and truth and disinformation. We believe that we need to be exposed to other views to not end up in an echo chamber of views that are only similar to ours.
I get that. But when you are putting forward the feeds of some of the, and maybe many of the politicians, they are, some of them are purveyors of misinformation themselves, right?
Yes, for sure. 100%. And I think there's nothing that we can do about that right now. It's really great that we see platforms like Twitter. Very recently, there was a statement that was put out about not permitting their service to be abused around civic processes, most importantly, elections. I think it was on their company blog post. One thing that's really important for us is that we provide all of the information. We're not hiding anything that an elected official says, but we don't see kind of Electo being the only place that an individual would go to get all of their information. We do want to encourage kind of further research to be done for individuals to view what others' views are, but to be able to go on Electo to see kind of direct from the source what elected officials are saying. Now, what they're saying, if they are not very truthful. There's nothing that we can do about that yet. But we hope that we can provide this platform where you're able to see what all elected officials are saying, kind of straight from the source.
Another thing is that, you know, we're in such a polarized time. And most people, I think, are not looking for information platforms that are bipartisan or nonpartisan. That's not where the action is typically. There's a lot more independence and so on, but they tend to align one way or the other and look for information in one of the bubbles or another. Are you trying to create a world that no one wants?
Well, I hope not. I mean, the people that we were speaking to and when we were doing our own research and kind of looking for a product like ours, we did want something that was a little different. So obviously there are individuals that already kind of have their own particular affiliations or particular beliefs. But I still think it's important to know, even if there's someone kind of on the other side that is saying something, to be able to know what they're saying and kind of being able to kind of just be more analytical and analyze at a deeper level what these individuals are saying and not being in this silo where you're not even exposed to that as well. So, I mean, we see so much political polarization, not even just online, but even on television. I feel like, you know, advertisers are, we're being sold our attention to advertisers, and internet was just the more efficient way to do that. And there is an increase, and there is kind of more divisiveness on social media, I can say, and since 2016 and even maybe before then. But no, we do hope that this will be kind of a refreshing space and platform where it's a platform to go to be able to see everything that's going on with elected officials. You can even filter kind of if I want to know what my elected officials in a particular district or state are saying, they impact me. And so even if I don't necessarily agree with all of their views, I'm sure that many of the things they do put out or say or their voting records do impact me. And so I'd want to know what those are and to have kind of my pulse on what's being said.
Do you think it fills a different space than like Ballotpedia or something like that?
What's different from, you know, Ballotpedia or there are other great organizations out there that tell you who's on your ballot. What's different is that we've also kind of incorporated the social media aspect to our app, which we're really excited about. So you're able to see kind of the tweets that are being put out without, again, being targeted by ads. You can also create your own customized timeline, not based on an algorithm, but based on kind of the elected officials that you want to follow. No one's going to target you with ads, or no one's going to know who you're following. It's just kind of your own customized timeline that you can make without having to follow these individuals on social media. But then, of course, we do provide voting records and kind of provide all of the kind of different filtering searches to be able to know kind of who your representatives are and to be able to reach out to them directly in an app form, not just online on the website.
I kind of like the idea that you're not trying to build an addictive platform, but it seems like it's probably at odds with your business model. What do you think about that?
It's true, for sure. I think one thing that Naeem and I were thinking really consciously about, and I think that's what got a lot of attention to Electo, is that we really do want to create a resource that's helpful and honest. And in doing that, I think that we did have to sacrifice a lot when it comes to kind of our revenue model, because we do want something that is useful. But I think what's also interesting about the donation feature is that we're not affiliated with ActBlue or with WinRed, and it's an alternative for those that maybe want to donate to candidates without having to go through those two platforms. I think those two platforms existing is great, and I think there will still be individuals that will go through those platforms. But what's exciting is that we can also kind of have that quick impulse of, you know, I see a tweet or I see something in a voting record and I like it, I can click on it and donate directly.
Did you follow Brigade? Are you familiar with
that? Yes, I am familiar.
That project?
Yes.
What do you learn from a big effort like that that ultimately didn't survive?
I think with Brigade, I'm not very familiar with what was going on within the team at Brigade, but my understanding is that there was some differences of opinion in the way that the platform was used. And we hope that everything we do and any partner that we bring on or anyone that we speak with is very clear about our mission in being nonpartisan and in the way that we want to remain nonpartisan by not creating content, et cetera. And we hope that the same thing won't happen to us and that we'll be able to stick around for much longer.
Yeah. What is making you folks most optimistic about the future of Electo?
We see that how conscious people are becoming of social media and how they have access to the news and how their data is being exploited. With this new level of consciousness, we hope to raise awareness that alternatives like Electo exist. Our ultimate goal is, like, you know, Electo is a trusted source that all Americans can go to when they want to be civically engaged. I hope that with all the political conversations that we are witnessing on social media, our first-time voters like me, that we are not desensitized to the importance of voting.
Yeah. One of the challenges to any political news source currently is Trump, because he sits outside the bounds of previously normal discourse, mostly in this country. Is there any inclination to treat what he does differently than anyone else?
That's a great question. And I think that's something that Twitter was looking at. I mentioned that they would have strict enforcement of their rules applied equally and judiciously for everyone, regardless of who it is, both kind of foreign and domestic. But at the end of the day, I think Electo will be posting all posts that do come, you know, through the social media platforms. But what's great is that, you know, if something that Twitter is flagging as, and they do have more resources than we do, if they're flagging something as untrustworthy, then that would automatically be tagged on our platform as well. If something's deleted from Twitter, it would be deleted from our platform as well. And so it's automated in a way that we hope would be helpful. And then obviously we do want to make sure that we have voting records and kind of have executive orders and all the kind of the records of everyone on our platform as well. Because I think there are individuals that are also critically looking at a lot of these tweets and are able to make decisions that, you know, an individual is untrustworthy by reading them, for example. And so we don't want to hide all of the things that do exist, but we don't currently filter out or pick and choose what we show on our platform. We also don't have an algorithm for the newsfeed. So everything is in chronological order. So anything that does come up kind of in real time, you'll be able to see on the app. And we don't pick and choose based on kind of your preferences or how you've been using the app, what is displayed to you.
Who do you think is the best user for your platform? Who are you after? How do you find them?
Our users are everyday Americans that want to stay informed. These can be varying age groups, different political backgrounds, and we have made conscious decisions in our user's experience design to make sure app is both accessible and user-friendly to all. With Click, users have the ability to decide for themselves when they want to learn more about what is happening around politics so they can use. I don't want to limit to any age or group or, you know, political affiliation that who can use Click, though, because the way that we have strategized, the way that we have designed, and the way that even our team works is we want to share all different opinions because we believe that what makes us stronger is our differences. What are your thoughts, Soraya?
I think initially when we were building the app, we were kind of building an app around kind of, we did ask this question, you know, who is our ideal user so that we can accommodate? And one thing kind of, we did a lot of interviews with various individuals and kind of we're thinking about the design of the app, like Naeem was saying, and did want to make it accessible to all. We have had kind of a lot of young users, a lot of them kind of first-time voters that have started using our app. But we've also had feedback from lobbyists and journalists that have reached out to us and activists that are using the app just as an alternate source to be able to quickly look up voting records, which are, of course, all accessible online. But the usability and how friendly it is makes it attractive as well.
What else would you want people to know about Elekta?
The thought that we put into, as Naeem was mentioning early on in our conversation, to every aspect, every little detail on the app, was a product of a lot of consultation and discussion and a lot of kind of experimentation to make sure that it's a truly nonpartisan platform. I think there are a lot of platforms out there that claim to be nonpartisan. They're very honest attempts to be nonpartisan, but I think that we really truly have put a lot of thought in the way that we display a lot of our data to make sure it's as nonpartisan as possible.
It seems like I can only search for a candidate by name.
Yeah. So if you go on the bottom, the second icon, you'll be able, where it says government, you'll be able to also filter further as well. So you can filter by state, you can filter by party, and you can also sort by, if you're looking for specific individuals, you can also.
What do you mean the second icon?
At the bottom.
Oh, there's a.
It looks like.
An icon for the government. Got it. Yes. It's a Capitol building or something.
Yes, that's right. Got it. And then you can filter further as well. So if you click where it says U.S. Senate, for example, if you click view all, you can then do further filtering on the top right-hand corner as well.
If I looked up Cory Gardner, Senator from Colorado, I was kind of wondering if I wouldn't see his opponent as an option.
That's really exciting. No, that's a great point. And that's something that we're working on to be able to show kind of who opponents are for particular kind of existing members. And that's something we're working on to be able to display as well.
And there are so many exciting features that we have ready, but the reason that we haven't yet updated it on the App Store and also Google Play Store is that we didn't want to overwhelm our users right at the beginning. And like many other apps, we are constantly improving and we are updating our app on a weekly basis, monthly basis. So you will see other features in a very near future that it's going to be updated.
Have you ever considered, you know, selling a version of this for a specific paying customer?
like yeah, that. Of course, 100%. So we do want to do it in a way that's again aligned in line with our mission. And this was just the first step of us launching the app for everyday Americans. But we do have kind of like an Electo Pro product that we hope to have in the future as well. We really were excited of you know to launch our app kind of before the elections this year. But then our second stage is that we do hope to also have a product that is kind of a complement to the app.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you guys coming on and talking to me about this. I'll be interested to see how it fares going forward and what kind of adoption you get. So hopefully you guys can stay in touch.
Thank you very much. And something that what I hope that what we are seeing in our political climate, that we are not witnessing much of innovation in this sector. And it's a very traditional space as so little has changed. Technology has advanced, but much what is related to civic education and voting has changed very slowly. And as there should be very little room to error or mistakes, I understand this. But I hope that we inspire others to become more involved and we can innovate more in this space.
One more thing that actually I wanted to mention that we hope to have on our app is that we know that an issue for candidates that are running, especially kind of at the more local level, is that there are many that come from minority groups or underrepresented communities. I mean, just us kind of launching an app coming from kind of multiple minority groups ourselves, we face challenges just launching an app, and we can imagine those that are running for office kind of experience those similar challenges. So we hope in the future that we're able, in kind of an unbiased way, to have an option on the app to be able to highlight those that come from minority groups that are running for office. And so we're really excited about that. And we're really kind of thinking critically what that would look like. And we hope that it could be kind of an added advantage to use Electo and also be very helpful for those that are running that come from underrepresented communities.
Do you mean to have the ability to filter to say, find all minority candidates running in Georgia or something like that?
For example, yes.
Yeah. Okay. All righty. Well, good to talk to you.
So that was Naeem Kanjani and Soraya Bagheri of Electo. They're at electoapp.com. This is Nathaniel G. Perlman with the Great Battlefield Podcast. You can find us at greatbattlefield.com or by searching for Great Battlefield in places where podcasts are found.